World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
And now for the next 30 minutes, As the World Turns.
For viewers of the CBS soap opera, As the World Turns, first word came at about 1:40 p.m. Eastern Time. It happened too quickly for cameras to be in place.
And I gave it a great deal of thought, Grandpa.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
Then it was back to the soap opera, but not for long. Soon after, Walter Cronkite was back, reporting from the CBS newsroom, complete with rotary telephones and wire machines.
This picture has just been transmitted by wire. It is a picture taken just a moment or two before the incident. If you can zoom in with that camera, we can get a closer look at this picture.
And almost exactly 1 hour after his initial bulletin, this now famous announcement.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
That's the day America died, folks. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. We've got communion. Joe's ready to lead us in communion. 61 years ago. It's the day the media died. It's the day America died. It's the expose, things that lot to talk about. You know, President Trump had promised to release the complete Warren report. Never did. Why didn't he? And somewhere along the line, he had said that if you saw what I saw, you wouldn't release it either. It goes right to the heart of the Luciferian American government, probably, names that we would all shudder to think are involved with it. But let's pray that nothing hidden that will not be revealed, because it all connects. It all connects. We're going to take communion, and we don't take communion lightly here. It says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. So, Joe, thank you for getting up clear out there in that wicked, wicked state of California, where it's now 4:03 a.m. And lead us in taking the elements here, Joe. God bless you, man. Don't go away, folks. I got some good stuff today. Are you there, Joe? Can't hear you, brother.
Sorry, I hadn't unmuted.
Okay.
I guess it is early here. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
See, I always found it amazing. He doesn't talk about people. He's talking about the world. We're supposed to save the world. Go ahead, Joe.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
Amen, baby.
For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
Amen, baby. Amen, amen. Turn on the lights!
But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God.
Amen.
You know, that those we tend to look at just 3:16, but that's all real strong.
Amen. Amen. Very strong.
Heavenly Father, we come to you on this day with mixed emotions and feelings, with gratitude in our hearts that we are here today with you, with each other online, that our hearts are beating and our lungs are full. But we also have hearts that are saddened as we remember what happened 61 years ago today. And I remember, Lord, when I was in first grade, it wasn't a good day, Lord. And it was a coup d'etat. And we ask that the truth finally be revealed, that the nation finally understand how wicked many of those who empower power truly are. Not all, but many. And let us have a come to Jesus moment as a nation when that is truly revealed, when the truth is revealed, Lord. Let that be part of the good fruit that springs from this, because we know in Romans 8:28, that for we who love you, Lord, and serve you, that everything turns out for good. So though a lot of bad was wrought with that, it will for your followers be good. And we are grateful for that. We don't know not how we can, we don't understand in what way that can be, but we are grateful. And we are asking you to remind us that we are your ambassadors, Lord. And that doesn't mean always turn the other cheek. That also means stand up and have righteous anger when it's appropriate, as our Lord Jesus Christ did in the temple. We don't know how to measure this mathematically or scientifically. It's something that you can only, I guess, understand in your heart with the Spirit. And we are also grateful for communion and what it represents, and the fact that you were so wise to have us remember you in this way and what you've done in this way. It's a tradition and a spiritual act that we always need to remember and to take very seriously. So we ask you to forgive our sins and transgressions, that we may come cleansed into your sight now. And we ask that everybody remember that this can be the meal that heals. heal the body, heal the spirit, heal the soul. And we ask that you bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we take it, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Something's happening here. Well, it isn't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me, got to beware. As always, there's crazy stuff going on, isn't there? Crazy, crazy stuff. And I want to show you today a biblical principle. See, all biblical principles are truth. They're all true. They're all true. And here we are on the 61st anniversary, hate to even use that term, of the assassination, public assassination of John F. Kennedy. We still don't know the story. We still know they blamed a patsy, Lee Harvey Oswald. I hope you all out there know Lee Harvey Oswald didn't do that. Still blame a patsy. 61 years later, they still won't tell us what exactly happened. And I want to play a real brief clip. Very first one, infiltration, not invasion, from President Kennedy. John F. Kennedy telling us what was going to happen to where we are today. Where we are, this is prophetic in where we are today. Go ahead and play that. How long is that? It's only 4 minutes. It's worth hearing.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
Freeze it, freeze
it. We decided long.
Are we still opposed to secret societies, secret oaths, and secret proceedings? Are we still? I don't know if we are. Go ahead.
Long ago, that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it.
Wow.
And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment.
Freeze it.
That
freeze
I do not.
Freeze it. Is that prophetic, folks? Is that prophetic, what he just said right there? And there's a very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. Is that the American society and the American cult? Right there it is. Okay, keep on going.
I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day, It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations.
Freeze it! Freeze it! Would that be the deep state? Was John F. Kennedy warning us in 1963 about the deep state? This is unbelievable, isn't it? This is unbelievable. No wonder they killed him. Oh, I'm sorry. No wonder Lee Harvey Oswald climbed up in that tower all by himself and was able to shoot him. Go ahead.
Preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program. For from that scrutiny comes understanding. And from that understanding comes support or opposition. And both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence in the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed.
Freeze it, freeze it. Wasn't it Eisenhower that warned us against the government media complex, or was it the government industrial complex? See, folks, there's nothing new under the sun. And they tried to warn us that this is exactly where we were going to head. It would be like President Kennedy has been watching what's been going on for the last 61 years and then comes out and gives us this speech. He is totally, completely telling us from a prophetic standpoint where our nation is heading. Keep going.
I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Mm. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger.
Boom, Vinny. There you go. Boom. Boom. That's where we are. Infiltration, not invasion. And you look across the spectrum of the American experiment and look out. Can you name for me one avenue or area where the infiltration is not only taken place, but complete? And so we said, it was Ronald Reagan. What did Ronald Reagan said? That we'd go into 4,000 years of darkness, 400 years of darkness, whatever. If at the heart of it, if Christianity, he didn't say that, but if Christianity bowed its knee to government and Luciferian control, if the church ever bowed its knee to that, Reagan said we'd go into 400 years and 4,000 years of darkness. And that's why where we sit today, it is, we are in the crucible. We will either, the church will either arise now, or God help us. God help us. And there's a huge, huge awakening that's going on. The people are beginning to understand. And the America is crying for leadership. And people get upset because they don't like Donald Trump when he's the only guy in my lifetime who has openly opposed the wickedness that I see everywhere I look. Everywhere I look, I see it. And nobody is opposing it. Certainly no elected official is opposing it. And then when he opposes it, being, in my opinion, God's man, the bouncer at the bar, when he opposes it, he's not righteous enough for Christians. When America's full of pastors and righteous men who won't do a damn thing. And we say, well, Lord, thank you for sending that guy, but couldn't you send us a cleaner guy? Huh? Couldn't you? Now, going back to secret societies, I get all that. I understand what's going on. I do. But I believe that Jesus Christ is the King of the Kings. He's the Lord of the Lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning of the end. He holds the whole world in his hands, that he will elevate and he will take down. I believe that in my heart, that there's nobody that rises to the presidency of the United States that was not done with the blessing and approval of Jesus Christ. Now,
amen.
Is it for good or is it for evil? We really don't know that yet. But we do know this. We do know this. We live in a time when the pulpit is the least effective that it's ever been, probably in the history of America. The pulpit.
Amen.
That we've traded, go ye into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Do we do that? Does the church do that? The church, Jesus said, Paul said, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So we have to understand when we're studying the scripture, everything has to be done in context. You could line up a list of 100 things that Jesus said and ask yourself, which one of these things is most important? Love your neighbor as yourself. Is that more important than have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness? Thou shalt not covet. Is that just as important as the education of our children? Teaching them to observe all I've commanded you? And so we get into I'm trying to think of the word. We want to do the easy thing. We want to do, what's hard about loving everybody? What's hard about that? We're called to do hard things. Tough things. We're fighting for the control of the world. And many of the guys in the pulpit, sorry, I always got to go there. Many of the guys in the pulpit don't want to do anything about it because they're living out what they think is pre-written history. It's only going to get worse. Look at the signs. Jesus is coming. Somebody say amen, so I know I got one friend out there.
Amen.
Amen.
The church militant. Militant. Pull that up for me, Spencer. Webster. Militant. Folks, listen to me. Not guns and knives and bullets and swords. And No. Militant. The church militant is the Christian church on earth, which is supposed to be engaged in a constant warfare against its enemies. The church has enemies, thus distinguished from the church triumphant, which is the church in heaven. So the church militant is fighting, combating, and serving as a soldier. So, hey, folks, you know any churches like that? You know any churches like that? Pastor Clint, I'm thinking of you. You're doing that, dude. You're doing that. You're fighting and combating, and it's changed your whole church. I don't know. I just know. And those are the hands and the feet of Jesus. The church militant is the Christian church on earth. When was this written? Look that up for me real quick, Spencer. When was, 1828. 1828. They were talking about the church militant in 1828. What word would you give to the church today? Church compliant? The church compromised? The church, what would you use? That we live in a culture and a society where there are still Christians in your community and the devil runs your schools. How does that work? How does that work? Man, I could go on. I got so much stuff to share with you today. I'm looking. Hang on there a second. Hang on. Bear with me a second. Because as soon as I'm opening it up, oh, I got so much. Can somebody help me out with this? Who's president of the United States right now? Didn't they say that Biden was incompetent? That he couldn't run for a new office? They're bombing, using American bombs in the Ukraine to bomb Russia. Who ordered that? Did Joe Biden order that? Is Joe Biden still president? Do you see where we are, folks? Do you see the spiritual war that is raging right in front of us? And wouldn't they love, the Luciferian one-worlders, wouldn't they love to get Donald Trump engaged in a world war before they leave office? Oh, wouldn't they love that? Wouldn't they love that? Because see, we don't understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places, and that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And Randy Lunsford made the most unbelievable video on staking. Oh, this is stream of consciousness. Unbelievable, man. Randy, I tip my cap to you. Keys of the Kingdom of Heaven and Earth. Randy produces. Just play a couple. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place today. But it's guys like Randy Lunsford and Craig Mickel and Steve Deck. We're the ones who are going to turn the tide. It ain't Trump. It's guys like us.
Amen.
The Spirit of God living inside of us. Activating, moving, advancing the kingdom. We're the ones that are going to do it. Donald Trump said, come on and do it. Come on and do it. And he's not righteous enough for us. Boom. They'd rather have Joel Osteen as president, I guess. What'd they say? You'll send a boy to do a man's job? That's right, top nut. The fake churches are going away. Praise the Lord. Play just a couple minutes of this. What Randy Lunsford put. God bless you, Randy. Yeah. See, listen, folks. Where there is no vision, the Bible says, the people perish. Spencer, quick. I'm sorry. Bear with me. Spencer. What's perish? Perish. To die or to lose your life, yeah. To die, to waste away a leg or an arm, that's perish. In biblical terms, perish means to run around without direction. That's how you decay. If we don't know where we're going, how do we know when we get there? And who's going to give the vision to the world if the church doesn't have the vision? And what's the church's vision? Evacuation. Sorry. Evacuation. Devil's just too tough for us. God's going to take his ball and go home. That's where your theology, that's the theology you've been taught, and that's where it takes you. Occupy till I come. He said, go ahead and play a little bit of some Randy. God bless you, Randy. And then put it in the chat. And you folks, you ought to share it with your pastor. You ought to share it with everybody you know. This is how we advance the kingdom. Go ahead.
You can see there, that's the state of Oklahoma. There's a lot of pink circles on there. Those are the counties, the county seats. And as you can see, Oklahoma has 77 counties. And you can see we filled in all but the last 8. And that's getting ready to happen soon. This is Roy Jones and Bonnie, me and my lovely wife, Kay. We are in Alfalfa County, Oklahoma, getting ready to do the courthouse. Early on a nice, cool day, 77 degrees, getting ready to take down some strongholds.
We got together originally, a group of us, and just to fellowship and to express how grateful we are that God had not forgotten us, And the next thing we know, we started talking about how that we could express the kingdom of God.
Started meeting here at our house. We were just needing something. Didn't really know what at the time. The more we prayed and sought the Lord, we really started feeling that we wanted to do more than just be together. We wanted to do something.
Our group recognized early on the court system was broken. You'd see verdicts given, like, how'd they come up with a verdict like that?
And actually, Randy is the one that came up with the idea.
So what we did, we covered all 12 appellate courts across the United States. We would go out and pray that God would intervene on our court system, our judicial system, and make righteous judgments again.
What we're dealing with is about righteousness and justice, and it's about the judicial system, about taking it back, getting absolute law again in order. It's scriptural, it's biblical, and it's time.
I was arrested by the Central Police Department this morning. A half a dozen officers handcuffed me, put me in the back of the car, and booked me into East Baton Rouge Parish Prison.
A team of us went down to Louisiana.
I will not give up my right to have church. I will not give up my rights to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
He was getting ready to face 25 years. And so we stood outside and we prayed. Well, about an hour later, they overturned everything. And we're like, wait a minute, what just happened there?
Stand strong. And don't ever forget that Jesus Christ is the Savior of this world.
We started doing about 4 or 5 of them at that point.
I got interested through this about 3.5, 4 years ago. We come over to Jimmy and Therese to have lunch with them and Randy and Kay and a few other couples, Kurt and Donna. And just kind of hooked up with Randy there, shared his mission with me, his heart, and what was happening.
Over a course of probably 10 months to a year, we covered every courthouse with the same statements, the same prayers, the same expressions and declarations. And
go ahead,
we have seen God do...
Go ahead and stop it. Put it in the chat. Randy, God, folks, this thing is, you got to watch this. Not only do you have to watch, put it in the chat. Yeah, not only have to watch it, you got to share it. Share this vision. Randy, are you there, Randy? God bless you, man. What?
Yes, yeah, I'm here, Ken.
So, Randy, just talk about this a second, man.
Well, you know, Coach, you know, it started, you pretty much started this, Coach. I tried to be very neutral in the documentary. I really didn't want to push anybody a name or anything. I wanted this to be seen as just a people movement, a ground grassroots, like kind of like MAGA, Coach, but we don't want a name. I don't want a name for it. But anyhow, Coach, you started this, and when we went to town and sat and stood with Tony Spell, that's what Ken One was trying to allude to. When we prayed against that and stood up with him, I mean,
yep,
our little platform produced most of those people. Something happened. I saw something happen in the realm of the spirit, Coach, that said, when I have boots on the ground and I can do things in the spirit, amazing things. And I learned that, Coach, by going and doing right there. That's where I learned the court system. We can turn it if we will do the work and do the and just let God do the work. I'm obedient. So it's very not anybody special. I'm just, it says, I believe it can happen. And then I don't know. I wish more people would catch on. I think they will, Coach. I think this is going to wake up a lot of people. I've got a lot of response from this already. So I think this is the tool. Coach, the documentary, you know, it costs money to put that together. And, I mean, it's all worth it. It's all for the kingdom of God. So, but this, I just fell into this with a guy that came out of Hollywood that was had all this experience and could do this. So, I'm pretty happy with what he produced.
It's powerful, Randy. It is powerful. Folks, it's in the chat. You say, Coach, how do I get in the chat? Well, you have to log on at CoachDaveLive.com, join the huddle, and there's a chat there. By the way, if you go to Coach Dave Live, all of the links are at the bottom of today's show. So you go to today's show and click on it at Coach Dave Live. At the bottom of it are all the links. Every time I show something, the links are there. The links are at the bottom. Click on one of those. There you are. So yesterday's show, there are all the links. Everything we showed yesterday, there it is. So make use of it, friends. Make use of it. Randy, no doubt in my heart that this is a move of God. Randy, we can't deny. We went to the Georgia Guidestones, and we prayer walked the Georgia Guidestones, and they fell down. Well, I mean, we can say it's a coincidence. Randy, we went to Hillary Clinton's house, and you put your feet under that threshold, and you prayed that kingdom down. Anybody heard from Hillary lately? She's like a dead fish, isn't she? Huh? So maybe there's something to this thing. Maybe this, what Craig Mickle's doing, child trafficking, maybe there's something to it. Huh? Yeah, maybe if God's people would get engaged against the forces of darkness, maybe something good will happen. Maybe. But most of you are going to a church where it never entered the mind of the pastor to take spiritual authority over the territory where God has placed him. You know I'm telling you the truth, right? Now, hang on. I'm not being critical of pastors. It took me a while to wake up. It took me a while to wake up. I'm awake now. And I don't have an excuse anymore. If you're a pastor and you're listening to the show today, I hate to tell you this. You're without excuse. You're without excuse. And if your ministry is sitting in the church and preaching, that's how we got where we are. And I believe God is doing something. They're doing a rumbling, an underground rumbling, that God is raising up a New Testament church right in front of our eyes. And it ain't that brick and mortar place on the corner. It isn't that new steel building that you got. That ain't it. Randy Lunsford's the church. Joe Allen's the church. Johnny's the church. Dave and Sherry Allison's the church. Susie Baldwin's the church. And the sooner we come to that realization that we are all territorially responsible for our passing of the authority of God, until we realize that God works through people, until we quit sitting around hoping Trump can save us, we can't miss this opportunity. Come on in, Joe Allen.
Coach, as you talk about church and state and how the church is failing us,
Joseph, how do you separate the church from the state? Can somebody explain that to me? How can that even happen? Go ahead.
There's none.
It's crazy.
So if you want a good example, Carol and I watched a movie yesterday called Bonhoeffer.
Yeah, I got a
question. And that Bonhoeffer, core percentage of the church, stood up to Hitler.
Yep.
So if you want a good example about the failure of our state, of our church, that'd be a good one to go see.
Hey, Spencer, looking the past couple of days, maybe it was on Monday or Tuesday, I gave you that Bonhoeffer clip. Is that all right? Good. Joseph, thank you, man. This is the clip of Bonhoeffer, this new movie that's out from Angel Studios. This is about a 2.5. Where are these pastors? Where are the Bonhoeffers of our day? Go ahead and play that, Joe. Or Spencer.
Something's coming. Something unstoppable. Look around you, my friend. How much light do you see?
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision so clear left its seeds when I was sleeping.
Hate comes in every color.
And the vision that was planted in me still remains in the sun.
We have devised a plot to assassinate the Führer.
You will go to England as our spy.
Churchill sees Germany as a home. He's afraid that a bomb traced to England would mean invasion or worse.
Invasion? Invasion? My country was invaded from within.
And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they
laid. Hi, Hitler.
And the sign flashed out.
My destiny.
Of silence.
Yes. Sound of silence, huh? The silence of the church is deafening.
Amen.
Come on in, Keith. Let's move. Keith, go ahead, brother. Come on. Craig, while we're waiting on Chris and Keith, go ahead, Craig.
Well, it's interesting you showed that because a lot of that started on the Night of Broken Glass. Night of Broken Glass was November, November 9th and 10th. And of course, you know, 11-11. 11 is a number of chaos, right, Coach? Right?
Yep.
So we got November 11th and Kennedy's killed on 22, double chaos, right? So
stop it. Stop.
Yeah, so guys working a lot of things. But I just want to go back to, you know, what Ken Wan said there about the court that we were around, and Steve Deck and a bunch of us, we just started walking around that court. Mm. And everybody was in that Lafayette Park there. And what's interesting now, that whole thing, I believe that's the circuit court number 5, if I'm not mistaken. But I remember just looking at all the things that downfalled after that. And I was like, man, like God, you know, he moved and that. And so I'm reading and I'm reading about this court case that's going to the Supreme Court. And it's coming up from the Fifth District Court about Joe Biden making everybody take a shot if you have a corporation over 100 people. And I said, somebody's got to go to the courts of heaven. I said, there's a lot of Christians work in that. And that realizing what happened down there inspired me to go that night and walk around the Supreme Court and go to the courts of heaven. This is about going to the courts of heaven, Coach.
Amen.
Not the courts of men. Because courts of heaven rule over the courts of men.
Amen.
And then what Randy did is he said, okay, he had that vision about let's go to this 12 circuit court. And we did this 12 circuit courts, right? Yep. And now he's going to the courts in the states, right? Okay. So basically we're cut out, we're from the top of the head, from the Supreme Court to the circuit courts. Now we're going from the top to the bottom. And that's where people need to, that's where people can participate because it's a local thing. I see this whole thing just as, you know, from top to the bottom. You know, the top's already done, and we're coming down to the local. So, I encourage people to do this. Take it seriously.
I don't know if you know this, Fonz. I haven't said much about it. I've been kind of following it from afar. Evidently, the Supreme Court has already ruled on the Brunson case. You're going to the Brunson brothers, right? That these guys, that all the elected officials have violated their oath of office. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? The Brunson case. That evidently that decision has already been ruled upon and it's about to be released and it's going to be earth changing in America. Because it's a clear violation of the law and their failure to obey their oath. Folks,
what's powerful about that, Coach, is January 6th of 2022, we were standing at the steps of the Supreme Court.
Amen.
When the last House of Representatives was seated in the midterm elections. And you turn the show over to the people who prayed as Steve Deck held his amplified phone and speaker to the steps of the Supreme Court in front of the security people walking up and down by the gates. So I'm just saying is I see God in all this because I got to participate in it, and to him be the glory. So, and great job, Randy. Great job.
Amen. Going into the enemy's camp and taking back what the devil stole. That's a song. I'm going to find that. Johnny, come on in.
Yeah, what you've talked about, Coach, in the past about Donald Trump, up till now, you know, is he God's man? I don't see any evidence to prove that he's nothing but for the American people and our freedoms. He's the man standing in the way of the darkness. And when I listened to that speech that John F. Kennedy gave, the only difference I see between the two of those men is that Trump is still alive. So, so we need to cherish that as the American people, because we know that the dark side is like a tourniquet that has turned that tourniquet to the point where the blood will not flow. And now Trump, we have an opportunity to release the blood, to give life back. And we are the blood through Christ. In order to keep it alive, we must go out and do what Randy's doing. To go around and stake and let the word of God be known. God's given us another opportunity. I'm just really, really, really thankful to be a part of you guys and to listen to you guys. Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hey, Spencer, I just put in the chat. Capture that in the chat and play that. Will you, brother? Capture that in the chat and play that. That's some good stuff, isn't it? Huh? Do you believe that? Do you believe that we can go into the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from us? Do you really believe in the restoration of all things? Do you really believe in it? Because I'm going to tell you something. We have the most defeatist attitude in the American church of probably Christianity at any time in history. But the good news is persecution has always been good for the church. It's always been good. You do know this, don't you? You do know this. Do you have any idea the testimony that Bill Dunphy is going to come out at when he comes out of that jail? Do you have any idea how soon that's going to happen? It may not seem soon to him. He may have to sit in there another 6 weeks. He may have to sit in there another 8 weeks. But when he is set out of there, do you understand the testimony that he's going to have, folks? Bonhoeffers of our day are going to be released out of those prison cells. And I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a revival sweep America like we ain't never seen. Because we are at the point, from an old football coaching position, it is either punt or grunt. Punt or grunt. Meaning, keep digging or punt it. That's where we are. And can I tell you the truth? Most of the church is punted. They're punted.
Amen.
If you are a pastor and you are not regularly having your people engage in the culture, what are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, I know what you're doing. Polishing the brass on a sinking ship, they say. Somebody rescue me. We got 9 minutes. I got
more. Amen.
Somebody rescue me here this morning. Come on in, somebody.
Dave, I'll come in real quick.
Come on, Roger. Thanks.
I agree on the engaging the culture, but I think in saying that and leaving that on the table, it gives too many outs.
It does, brother.
Because the pastor will say, well, we are.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving, we give free turkeys and a food basket to people. And
Roger, we give yeah. books to kids going to school.
Yeah, we do book bags. And so I think you got to be a little more specific what it means to engage the culture, because there's nothing wrong with those things, but that's not what I think you're really saying. You're
just
saying,
read the book of Acts. That's what you do, brothers. Yeah, read the book of Acts, Hebrews 11.
So I think, you know, we got to be a little more specific on what engaging the culture means, because all these churches, the vast majority of them, would probably get a solid B for mercy ministries. You know what I'm saying? Some of them might even get a B plus.
Maybe that's an A.
Maybe an A. But that's not the only way to engage.
Right.
And so we need to be a little more specific of what engagement is lacking.
Roger, what does it mean? What do you think of when somebody said you are a soldier?
Well,
hang on, bro. I'll find it. Keep talking, Roger. Yeah.
No, I don't think it's part. I don't think it's giving out turkeys. Although they've regulated our army right now to be some of that, giving out stuff and helping people. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's the continual lack of the other areas of engagement, the school board, the city council, the staking, you know, just a host of things that could complement the mercy ministry.
Amen. You got to do both, right? You got to do both. Joe Allen, come on in.
In Agenda 30, in a glossary and on the program that came out with the government, our pastors are the number one engagement that they're going to talk to control us. This is the whole thing in this movie. I don't want to talk about it too much because you need to go see this movie. So if we, like Roger says, if we don't engage our pastors of what they need to stand up for, our country is going to be doomed. Just like Mary what Beth, happened in Germany.
Amen. Mary Beth.
Just want to say hello to Rochelle. Also, I wanted to say I'm a member of the Turkey Army at times. And then I think your best saying today, Coach, was something to the effect of how can you get there if you don't know where you're going? And I wrote that down because that's the quote of the day for me.
Amen. Amen. Dave Allison, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Great program. Coach, that song, I went to the enemy's camp. I believe that
arrived out of the Pensacola revival years ago down in Florida. And I'm not poo-pooing the song. The song itself is okay. But let me tell you what happened when people in church sang that. They envisioned my big screen TV, my mansion, and my limousine. I went back to my enemy's camp, and I got that back. They didn't understand what that power that I went to the camp. See, and that's the problem. The preacher never told them what that means when you took back the power that Jesus Christ gave back to us on the cross. And Joel, I understand what you're saying. You got to go and tell your pastor, but you need to stand up. You know, if I got to tell the leader to tell him what to do, I need a new leader. That's the bottom line. I hate to tell you that, but
amen,
baby. Amen,
amen, amen. Hang on here. I've been digging this. I'll get you in here. I promise, Spencer. I found it. Play that.
I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army. I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful,
amen,
reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. If He needs me in the Sunday school to teach the children, work with the youth, help adults, or just sit and learn, He can use me because I am there. I am a soldier. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up because I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me because I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I am a soldier. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from this battlefield, He will promote me to captain and then allow me to rule with Him. I am a soldier in the army. I am marching. I am claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier marching heaven bound. Here I stand. Who will stand with me?
Boom.
Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.